And I said, man, I'm going to use this for my intro, and I'm mad because it's been working just fine. It's working this morning. But in this scene, for those of you that know the movie, Quincy's in a hospital bed, and his dad comes into the hospital room. And he ain't seen his son in 5 years. His son is playing basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers. He tries to dunk the ball and hurts his knee. And he goes in there and checks him out, and his son is hurting. And he walks in. He was like, what you doing here? You know what I mean? He was like, I come to check on you, see how you doing. Like, it's been 5 years, Pops. I ain't seen you. He said, I know. He said, if you want to be said. He said, I ain't seen you. It seems ever since me and your mom divorced, you divorced me too. And he gave him kind of a look. And the reason he gave him that look is because his dad was going through these problems and these issues. And then some woman came out and said that he's having a baby with another woman. And he was like, nah, not my pops, not my pops. No way, no how, no way, no how. And then he sat down with his mother and she showed him pictures. She hired a private investigator and showed him pictures of his father with another woman. So he's all messed up behind this. He had been drinking and having issues in college and left for the NBA draft too early. Kind of messed up his life because of the issues he had with his father. So he's sitting down with his father. He's talking to him. His father said, if you want to be mad at me, that's fine. But let me say something first. You're a better man than I ever was, Quincy. If you want to play ball, play ball. You're smart. Whatever you want to do, you can do it, son. I believe in you. Just know you're not like everybody else. And Quincy's sitting in the hospital bed, and he says these words, and this is what I really wanted to put the emphasis on. He says, Pops, why come you couldn't be the man you try to make me to be? And he's sitting there with tears in his eyes. He's crying, wants to know why his father couldn't be the man that he's trying to make him to be. And his only reply was, I'm sorry, son, it's hard. And that leads me to why this is the message we're going to have today. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, all eyes on me. Yeah, all eyes on me. I'm going to spell father for you real quick if you don't mind. God gave me this. F, father, fortitude, family, foundation. A, assurance, accountability, awesome, and affirmations. T, teacher, time, trusting, and treasury. H, hero, helper, hardworking, and humility. E, everyday, edifier, elite example, R, responsible, rewarding, righteous, and respectful. That is how we ought to be as fathers, amen. So anybody that knows the text, knows this, All Eyes on Me is no secret. It is Tupac's album that he released when he got out of jail. First album on Death Row with the title All Eyes on Me. If you know anything about hip hop, you know that. And in coincidence, today is Tupac's birthday. I said, wow, that's kind of weird that you gave me this message and it being Tupac's birthday today. But he released this this album, and he titled it All Eyes on Me. He felt all eyes were on him. I'm getting out of jail. I got charged. I got all these things going on. So it feels the whole world is looking at me. And as a father, you better believe that in your children's life, you are bigger than any rap star could ever be. As a father, you have influence that is amazing. Our behaviors affect everyone in the house. You better believe that all eyes are on you. As we look in today's text, we have Psalms 37. You have your Bibles. You can go ahead and look at it. If not, you can go ahead and roll with us. We got it on the screen. And Psalms 37 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Psalm 37 is an awesome psalm. You have time to read it. Read it in your spare time. There are over 20 verses dealing with the wicked and how God is helping us to overcome the wicked and the demise of the wicked. And one of my favorite, I want to give this to you right quick, is verses 3 and 4. He says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Yeah, I had to put this little plug in there because we've been dealing with incredible faith for several weeks. And I love this because it says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he can help you. The Bible says this. I love the reassurance of his word that anyone believes that God is who he is. You must first come to him and accept that he's God and he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you're willing to commit everything to the Lord, watch what he do with it. Take delight in him and he will delight in you. Because remember, faith without works is dead. And I don't know about all y'all, but I need God's help. Amen. Yeah, I don't care what's going on in my life. I know I need God's help. And I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. Y'all remember TLC? The group TLC? I know the first song, one of the songs, everybody, like, everybody, what's it called? What About Your Friends? Y'all remember that song? That was one of the top songs. Amen. But they had out one before that called what? I Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Yeah. It was called I Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And as I know I need help for God, I just figured that I need it in the morning, in the middle of the night, so I ain't too proud to beg. I know he's bandwagoning, and I'm on this bandwagon, and I got to keep it going because I ain't too proud to beg. The problem we have, we're not getting where we need to be because we ain't too proud to beg. You got to be able to beg God. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And we commit ourselves to the Lord, delight in him. He gives you the desires of your heart. It's a two-way street. And the reason why some of us not getting what we need from God, because we ain't taking no delight in him. But that's another sermon. We'll get to that, but I had to throw that little plug in there for the verses. So in Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Now, the seminarian to me, I feel obligated to give you the correct look at this verse, the correct interpretation. I know more antiquated versions than many of us grew up reading says what? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, which is perfect language today. That sounds like a perfect Father's Day message. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It sounds perfect. I know it does, but that is not how the Bible is truly written. The correct way this is written, the correct text breaking it down, that is not just a manly verse. See, and this is talking about mankind, which means that it could be male or female. This New Living Translation gives a better breakdown of the verse. It says this: the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by hand. In other words, the word man is not masculine, but we're referring to mankind as a whole. So it goes for boys and girls, anybody, whoever it is. I got good news that God cares about every detail of your life.
Yeah, he does.
He cares about every little thing. Little things you don't even think they're important.
Yeah.
He cares. He's watching. Why? Because you're his child. Don't we care about every little detail of our child's life?
Yeah.
All those kids will bring us something. We don't even know what it is. Look, Daddy, look what I found. And we excited. Because we care about every little detail of their life. Don't tweet and twist that God is the original Father.
Yes, he is.
So while this text is really for man and woman and everybody, allow me some pastoral privilege to kind of preach towards men, but I need everybody else to peep in too as we're looking at this, all right?
Amen.
As you can see from the title of the message, I'm implying that what? My behavior impacts everyone in my house.
Yeah.
I want all fathers to realize you cannot minimize your influence in your house or with your children. Like it or not, all eyes are on you. Still, no matter what, all eyes are on you. So look at this. As a godly man, you should have non-negotiables.
Yep.
Whatever else in life is, at least have some full non-negotiables in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Marriage, friendship, or anything meaningful, horizontal relationships should have full negotiables. You have to negotiate. You should have non-negotiables. And even as a single person, as I can't wait as we move on, we're about to have a new series dealing with relationships with the singles and the married. And I got to put this little plug in there real quick. Even as a single, I should have some non-negotiables.
That's good.
Before we even get any further, do you know Jesus? Should be one of my non-negotiables. If I'm a single and I love the Lord, because if you don't love Jesus, how are we going to go any further?
Right.
We on two different paths in life. We on two different roads. So everything in life, somebody, you should have some non-negotiables in your life. Meaning I'm not moving from these things. These are what I'm standing on, and these are what I'm holding on. So I'm going to give you pastors non-negotiables real quick. I got three. I'm never going to walk away from Christ in this church. I'm never doing that. No matter what happens, I'm never walking away from Christ in his church. Never dishonoring my marriage covenant with another woman. I got to love this girl till I leave earth. It's me and her to the end, till the wheels fall off. It's nobody else. Me and her, we rock until the wheels fall off. You know what I mean? That's how it is. I got to be with her. This is my baby. And the other one is, guess what? I'm never personally, purposely abandoning or forsaking my children. I'm going to be a father till I leave here too.
Yeah.
Those are three things pastor can't move from. I got to stand on these non-negotiables. All of my non-negotiables are biblically based. I'm going to unpack those today for you as well. But the first one is for all my brothers. They like to attend St. Mattress, Bedroom Baptist, and talk to Pastor Pillow. Yeah. Everybody went over your head. My brothers that attend St. Mattress, you know, Sunday morning, that mattress be feeling so good. Bedroom Baptist. We want to chill with Bedroom Baptist. I mean, it's cool. I got the air conditioner where I like it. I got my fan going. Got my TV. It's so comfortable in there. And Pastor Pillow be talking to me. He be putting me right to sleep. But I got to let you know, as a man, check this out. A godly man should be committed to Christ and his church.
Amen.
Yeah, committed to Christ and his church. Let's look at the Bible, see what the Bible says. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. Yeah. That's the New King James Version. Let me go to my ghetto version real quick. Let me go to the Message Bible real quick. It says this: not avoiding worship together, as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. So the text is telling me that what? Worship is important. Don't minimize coming to church. Don't minimize a place where you can go when a pastor is praying for you and loving for you and cares about your spiritual life and where God is taking you to. Don't minimize a place where they study and they preach the word of God and want you to grow in the word of God and be everything God has called you to be. Don't minimize a place where you can come to worship and ain't no such thing as assigned seats and no dress code. You can just come in and worship and be free. Don't minimize a place where your brothers and sisters in Christ may know you're going through and they give you a shoulder to cry on and they're willing to pray with you and willing to love on you and hug you and say, I'm here for you. I got your back. Let me walk through this thing with you. Don't minimize that. We got to know that going to church is important. I don't know about you, but there have been some Sundays in my life where I didn't know how I was going to get through. I didn't know what was going on. My mind was in a mess. My heart was somewhere else. I was all jacked up, and it was because I came to church.
Yeah.
My faith got encouraged.
Amen.
It was because I came to church. My spirit got renewed. The praise team sung my song. The pastor said a word right for me, and it was there I knew God was talking to me and helped me get
good
to where I need to be. Don't avoid coming to worship together.
Good.
Fathers, listen to me. It is an imperative that God can trust us to teach our children how to worship.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. We see Abraham, who's known as the father of faith. And Abraham was blessed, y'all. He had more than enough. He had everything. God used him in a mighty way. And as I began to look in the text, that Abraham had much, much, much favor, but he wasn't blessed because he prayed all the time.
Yeah.
That wasn't it. He wasn't blessed because he was so righteous and did everything right. That's not why Abraham was blessed. He was blessed because God could teach to trust him to teach his children about him.
Amen.
Look at Genesis 18 real quick. It says, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation.
Yeah.
And all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he promised him.
Amen.
Wow. Look at the calling on Abraham's life in verse 18. The responsibility of being great and being a powerful nation. This was Abraham's responsibility. Abraham started the Jews. The Jews started through Abraham. And it is, and even our Messiah, Jesus Christ, comes through Abraham's language, through the lineage, through the tribe of Judah. So all this responsibility was put on Abraham's shoulders.
Yeah.
But verse 19 says God chose him because he would direct his children. God chose him because he would teach his household the ways of the Lord. God chose him, and as we see later on in the Bible, he's referred to what? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of him, his son, and his grandson. It is imperative for us as men to teach our children how to worship.
Amen.
Y'all know my kids and everything. We can't teach our, we gotta make sure that we are teaching them about worship. What are we teaching them? How just to recite rap songs? How to shoot jump shots, how to catch a football, and ain't nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you know and don't know who saved you, who hung up on the cross and died for you, if you don't know the one who loves you more than daddy loves you, if you don't know the one who loves you enough to die for you, who came back in flesh and did all this, if you don't know the one who can you can cast your cares upon, who cares for you, if you don't know how to get to praying to him, because truth be told, daddy ain't going to always be around. It's going to come a point in time where daddy ain't going to be here. And you're going to have to know how to get in with God yourself.
Amen.
So it's my job as a father to teach you.
Because
if I haven't taught you how to pray, then I haven't taught you anything.
Yeah.
And I failed as a father. Mm-hmm. A godly man should honor his wife in his marriage. A godly man, yes, yes. 1 Peter 3:7 says this. In the same way, you husbands, give honor to your wives. Treat them with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Listen to me. Listen up. I've been married going on 13 years, so I know a little something about marriage. A little bit. Going on 13 years. I know a little something about marriage. And I'm going to deal with this extensively again in this relationship series. I can't wait because I know people need help in relationships. And that's what we're here for. Here to help people. I love that. But I know this as a husband, my job is to give honor to my wife.
Amen.
That's my job, to give her honor. If you're courting someone and you're trying to get married one day, you're preparing to get married, your job is to give her honor.
Yeah.
You got to give her honor. Look at the text. How do I give honor? How do I give honor? By treating your wife with what? Understanding as you live together. Fellas, I got a secret for you. If you want to escape some drama, I got the cheat code. You want to escape some drama? Listen to this. What she needs from you is understanding. How can we communicate if you don't hear what I say? What she needs from you is understanding. Simple as 1, 2, 3. Understanding is what she needs. All the women should have been howling and shouting if you need something. All she needs from you is understanding. She needs you to understand. Yeah, I ain't picked the play of work. Escape the drama, understanding. You need the understanding. But how do I understand her? Pastor, glad you asked. Because sometimes I feel I can't understand her. I'm trying, but I can't. I promise I am. Check this out. Look what the Bible tells us. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So I have to understand that she is the weaker vessel than me.
Yeah, that's good.
But she's still God's daughter.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Before I loved her, God loved her.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to understand how she is God's creation and treat her as such.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is the weaker vessel, I have to have a certain amount of grace for her.
Yeah.
I have to put her in a certain place. Because why? Because she's the emotional one.
Mm-hmm.
She's ran by emotions. So if her emotions get out of whack, it ain't going to be good for nobody, me in the house or no one. So I have to understand her. And I do that by communicating.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I do that by talking.
Yeah, break that down.
I have to understand, because check this out. I can't protect her physically and then tear her down with my words.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I can't be the protector and she know I ain't going to let nothing happen to her. But then I cuss her out when I'm at home. Or I'm mean to her and evil to her. And then now the understanding is messed up because she don't have any understanding. She's hurt and she's emotional. And guess what? The house ain't good for nobody.
Right.
So God is telling us that we must have some understanding, and communication is the first key. And I love this because the Bible says, check this out. If I don't treat her right with understanding, my prayers will be hindered. Yeah, God's serious about honoring our ladies, y'all. That maybe my prayers aren't being answered because of how I treat my wife.
Wow.
Or how I treat the person who I'm preparing to marry. Maybe it's why my prayers are not getting past the ceiling because I'm not giving her honor.
Wow.
Yeah. How do I give her honor? I need my kids to see me kiss my wife. And they be like, ugh, daddy. So what? I don't care if it grosses you out. I need y'all to see me kiss. Look, Daniel, that's how real this is. Daniel, he gets really upset when I kiss his mama. He jumps on her, that's my mama. Why? Because God has already put that protection, thank goodness, for our ladies. That even a little kid, I'm his daddy, but if I kiss his mama, he want to protect his mama because our job is to protect our ladies. It's already in us, instilled in us, naturally. But I need my kids to see me kiss their mama. I don't care how much it gross them out. I need me to hear them say thank you when she cooks us dinner. Yeah, thank you, baby. You didn't work all day too, just like I worked. And you coming home, you preparing dinner for all of us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I say it, the kids chime in. Thank you, mama. Why? Because I need to see them see us honoring her. Yeah. I need to see them hear me tell her I love her. Yeah, I need to let them hear me say, I love you, baby. I love your mama. I tell them I love your mama. I tell them your mama fine, everything else. I make sure they hear me that I do that intentionally. Why?
Yeah.
Because I really want them to know that, for one, I do mean it. But I need my daughters to know what to look for in a man.
Amen.
Yeah. My children need to know daddy is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me if he can't pray for me, I'm wasting my time. Yeah, that's what I need my daughters to know. If he can't appreciate me, then I'm wasting my time. Why? Because I'm the father and all eyes are on me. So what they see and what they want from a man is going to come through me some kind of way. Because I'm the example. I need my son to know he needs to treat his wife like a queen.
Amen.
He got to know how to treat her. What a marriage is about. That's coming from me. He has to know. He has to know. He has to be affectionate. He has to know. He has to compliment her, but he also has to pray for her as well.
Yes. Amen.
They have to know. And if daddy don't do it, who will? Am I going to let a rapper who calls women out their names be the influential voice in my son's life? You think I'm going to let the city girls tell my daughter what the standard of a man is? Amen, church? Yeah, I got quiet on that one. You think I'm going to let them tell the standard of what they should look for in a man? Check this out. Your kids are going to be raised by somebody, so it might as well be me. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't let nobody else raise my kid. Not a TV, not a music, not an album, nothing. That something is going to raise them. So if something's going to raise them, I'm going to make sure it's going to be me.
Amen.
Not society, not the culture, not what they see, not at school. It's too many bad influences enough.
Yeah.
And I love my children too much not to let anything just come in their life. So check this out. This is my third non-negotiable. A godly man should fight to be a father as long as he and his children are alive.
Yeah.
Should fight to be a father.
Yeah.
Being a father ain't an easy job. Nobody said it was. But you got to fight for that thing. Because they depending on you.
Amen.
They need you. So what are the characteristics of a good father? I got a few characteristics of a good father real quick. Number one is what? He provides. He provides. The characteristics of a father. You got to be a provider for your children, which means I'm not going to let my children go without. I go without before they go without. I don't care what happens in my life. If I gotta go, if I got to look bummy, that's what it is, as long as they are taken care of. Because they're not here by choice. The reason they're here is because of me. So I go above and beyond and make sure they good. I take a back seat. Why? Because I got to provide. The Bible says this. It says this, that a man who doesn't work doesn't eat, and a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. That's the Bible. That a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever, because if God blessed me with a family, how am I not going to take care of them? If God allowed me to have them, why am I not going to do that? So a man must be able to provide. Check this out. Another one is he protects. Yeah. A good father protects his family. Don't let nothing happen to his family, no matter what's going on. I stand in between the gap. As you see in the picture, the weight of the world might be coming down on them, but they got to know daddy got them. No matter what's going on, because mom is the emotional one, and her emotions might get out of whack. They got to look at daddy and see some peace. They got to look at daddy's face and say, well, daddy said we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. I don't care what's going on. They got to be able to know that I'm there to protect them, that nothing wrong is going to happen to them in daddy's presence, that I would give my life for them. I don't play with my family. You don't touch my family. Pastor will kill you and preach your funeral. You're not going to touch my family. I won't. I'm not going to deal with that. Amen. You're not going to touch my family because I love them. My job is to protect them at any means necessary.
Amen.
So we got to understand, as men, our job is to protect our families. And the last thing, not only does he protect and provide, but he prays.
Amen.
It is imperative that as fathers, we learn to pray for our children, mm-hmm. pray for them and pray with them. I believe this is the most important thing that we can give our children, is the ability of prayer, because it lasts eternally. It gives them a relationship with the Father. It opens up communication with God. Mm-hmm. So it is imperative that we teach them how to pray. And as I was looking at this and preparing this message, my father, I was thinking about it. My father's father, he passed away in 1970. So I never met my father's father, my grandfather, never met him. And my dad was 18. My dad passed away in 2012, and I was 29 years old. And I believe I had a wonderful father. Can't tell me no different. Love him with all my heart. Me and my siblings, I know, feel the same way. Pops was the man. We loved him, cared for us, loved us, did everything for us, didn't let us go without, make sure we could communicate with him, always was around, never was a time he was missing. Love pops into my heart. But it's one thing my daddy never taught me, and that was how to pray. Something that is such a big part of my life right now, I didn't get taught that by my father. Think about that. And I love my daddy, and my daddy was the bomb, but something I needed, he didn't give to me. I thank God that he saved me, and God flipped the reverse. I was able to give that to him.
Amen.
in his life before he passed away. Amen. God just flipped it. But my father didn't give it to me. And I start thinking, I believe as a nation, especially us as African Americans, look at our country and how crazy our world is. Look at our society. Look at all the killings we've had in Indianapolis already. It ain't even hot outside yet. Look at all the drama we facing. And I thought about it. If we instill prayer into our children, I just don't believe it would be the same. If we instilled a relationship with God, it wouldn't be the same. Because you would know, thou shalt not murder. You would know, you got to talk to God about it. You would know issues arise. Everybody got issues. You would know, guard your heart without all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. As Proverbs say, we will be teaching our children to uphold a standard, not that the world is giving them, a standard that God has given them.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
And I thought about my own life because I said this because I got saved. And as much as I love Destiny, my firstborn, I didn't get saved till she was 3. I was a present father. I was a loving father. I was a protecting father. I was a providing father, but I wasn't a praying father. I loved my baby with all my heart. Don't get it twisted. Because you can be a father, an awesome father in these areas without knowing God. I'm not saying that. You can be an awesome friend. You can check the provider box. You can check the protector box. But it's something about that last box of praying, covering them, is where I believe our fatherhood goes to another level. See, because I had to realize that even though I did all these things, I wasn't yet a good father because I wasn't right with God. How, Pastor? How were you not a good father? You took care of your baby. You loved her. You did these things. How were you not a good father if you didn't know God? Look at the text. Look at Mark 10 real quick, what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good save one, God himself." So the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, good teacher, I need to talk to you." And Jesus says, "Hold up. Why are you calling me good teacher? Ain't nobody good but God."
Amen.
So if you consider me good teacher, that means you know that I'm God. I'm one with God.
Yeah.
And Jesus begins to teach and talk to him. So what I'm saying is that this is no way I can be a good father unless I know God.
Amen.
Unless me and God are on one accord, I can't be the good father. Because Jesus says this when we pray and we ask in God for our gifts. He says this: "You are evil, but still know how to give good gifts to your children." So don't you not think the father who is good will be willing to give you anything?
Yeah.
Because even if we don't know God, we are able to give good gifts to our children.
Right.
We don't know God, we take care of those babies. We love them. But it's a place I got to get to that not only am I good, I'm good because I know God. The only way to be good is godly. So they have to know that I love them, I protect them, I care for them, all that. But it was a man that went to Calvary. I love him and I got you all that, but it was the one that shed his blood for your sins. I love you and I got all that. It's one that has given us forgiveness. I love you and all that, but it's access to his throne. It's a way you can go into prayer. You can go into your closet. It's someone you can consult. It's someone you can give your heart to. It's someone that can know every heartbreak, know every pain, know every detail of your life.
Amen.
And I got to make sure I give you him, because my life on earth is limited. My ability is limited. When you go off to college, I won't be there.
Right.
If you move to another state, I won't be there.
Amen. Good.
Something's going to go on in your life as you get older. Right now, you're sitting on my lap, so we cool. But you're older now, you're sitting on my heart.
Yeah. Amen.
And I can't be everywhere and do everything. So I got to teach you that you can talk to the one who never sleeps and never slumbers.
Amen. That's it.
You got to talk to the one that has the power of the world in his hands.
Yeah.
You got to talk to the one whose eyes are everywhere, seeing the good and evil of men.
Yeah.
And if I haven't taught you to love on God, then I failed as a father. Mm-hmm. Amen. Can we give God a praise real quick? Amen. I thank God for this. And I just feel this in my heart. And this is real. Because God has been so good and kind, some of us have never been blessed even by our fathers. See, in the Bible, when it was your time to come and God was transferring a blessing to you, he would take the father and lay the hands on the children. And he would speak a blessing over their life. And I still believe in that. And I believe some of us have missed our Father's blessing. So I don't know who you are, what you stand in need of today. Before I do an altar call, I felt this on my heart. And if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not. But if you need someone to pray a blessing over you, let today be your day. God wants to put a Father's blessing on you. God sees your hurt, your pain, everything you've been through, and God wants to bless you mightily. God wants to have his way in your life. So if you need a blessing, if you need it, whatever the case may be, if you need a Father's blessing, someone to pray over you and say, God has called you, God loves you, and God wants to change your destiny. God sees your hurt, sees your pain, sees everything. If you need special prayer, if you need to be blessed, let today be your day. If you never had your Father just pray over you and bless you, let today be your day. I want to do that in your life. Pray and allow the blessing to come forth. Because God calls you and God loves you.
Yes, he does.
And God wants to change. See, I love the way God, because God changes generations. Like I said, the thing that my dad didn't give me, I'm able to give to my children. All the good stuff he gave, I'm still able to be giving all that too. But I'm able to add some bonus to it. See, every generation should add a little bit more to it. That we should be better than the generation before us.
Yeah.
That my goal is that my son is a better father than me. And I feel I had a big standard to live up to. But I want my son to be a better father than me. I want the men that my daughters to marry to be great fathers. I set that up. I call for the blessing over their life. I speak it and believe God to do it. So this is just for my man right now. If you need the prayer, we here. Come forth if you need it. Just want to pray with you and love on you and call forth your blessing. Because God has called you to be blessed. God has called you to be blessed. If you need prayer, step forward if you need it. You know me, I don't want to drag nothing out. But I believe if you need it, let today come forth. If you need a blessing in your life, if you need God, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. God has something special for each and every one of you. God has a future that is brighter than you ever could believe. God has plans set up for you guys, and I believe it. And all God is asking you to trust him. Trust him like you never did before. The word says this: trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
In all your ways,
yes.
Acknowledge him.
Thank you
for waking me up today, oh God. Thank you for giving me the mind frame to do whatever you called me to do. Thank you, oh God, for giving me the strength, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for giving me the children, oh God, you've allowed me to bless. Thank you, oh God, for giving me this job. Thank you, oh God, for giving me everything. Because guess what? Some people ain't got their right mind. Some people in a hospital bed wish they could get up and go to work.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Some people in a hospital bed wish they could have came to church this morning. So in all your ways, I want to challenge you, man. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he promised he would direct your path.
Yes, he will. Yes,
he
will.
He shall, he will,
thank
he can. He
you,
must. God is not a man that he should lie.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is not a man that he should lie.
Thank you, Lord.
And whatever you put your heart upon, the word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I just want to speak faith into you before I pray, because I just believe God is going to do something amazing in your life.
I just want to speak faith into you. That God said with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. All it takes is a little bit of faith.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And then you put some work with that faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
You put some effort with that faith.
Thank you, God.
You put some prayer with that faith.
Thank you, God.
And God will move mountains in your life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just we close our eyes and bow our heads.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you, O God, for strength and mercy in the time of need, Father God. I lift up to you these men, Father God. These men, O God, that have been called and chosen by you, Father God. These men that you love, O God, that you love, O God, with all. You love them so much you sent your son to die for them on the cross, O God. I pray, O God, a blessing right now in the name of Jesus, O God. I pray a fatherly blessing over them all right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. I declare, oh God, they should be the head and not the tail, oh God. That they should be above and not beneath, Father God. I declare, oh God, you will be with them and walk with them, oh God, in every situation, oh God. I declare, oh God, you will be a light to their feet, oh God, and a lamp unto their path, oh God. I declare, oh God, they will learn to surrender you in a whole new level, Father God. You begin to touch their hearts and their minds, Father God. They will keep your statutes and your commandments, oh God. And they will honor their wives, oh God, and wives to be, oh God. They will honor their children, oh God, and love them, oh God. They will instruct their children in the ways of the Lord, Father God. They will lift them up, Father God. They will become men of prayer, oh God. Men of love, oh God. Men of peace and not war, oh God. Men of discernment, oh God. Men, oh God, that are led by you and your Holy Spirit, Father God. I pray right now, Father God, you begin to do something in their hearts and minds like never before, Father God. You begin to touch them, Father God. Even when people come around them, they will notice the difference, oh God. And they will ask them, what happened to you, Father God? They will say, because Jesus, oh God, has touched my heart, has blessed my life, oh God. I declare the blessings of God over them. I declare the forgiveness, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. They forgive themselves, oh God, today, Father God. In any area they have failed in, any area they have fallen short in, Father God, I speak forgiveness over their own lives, Father God. I speak, oh God, and let them know they are forgiven, oh God, that God keeps no records of doing wrong, oh God, that they have repented and moved on, oh God, for whatever is holding them down, Father God. Any mistakes, oh God, any judgment, oh God, God does not hold that over their head. That is the enemy. And we call him a defeated foe. He must let it go in the name of Jesus, oh God. We declare the enemy is defeated, oh God. He has no power in their lives. He has no way in their lives, oh God. He has nothing, oh God. We stand under our feet through the power of Jesus Christ and his mighty blood, oh God. I'm praying, oh God, you bless these men, oh God. Keep them with integrity, oh God. Bless their character, oh God. Bless them to be God's men, oh God. Bless them, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, to do whatever you have called them to do, Father God. Give them ideas, oh God. Show them, oh God, their worth, oh God. Show them how mighty they are through you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. So I'm believing blessings on them right now. I'm believing every blessing on them right now, Father God. That you transfer everything, oh God, in me that is good, Father God, to their lives, oh God. Transfer it, oh God, and let it go forth, oh God. Help them be a better man, a better father, a better husband, a better friend, a better whatever they are, God. I call it upgrading their life right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And today they will be upgraded, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And they will realize, oh God, that all eyes are on them, Father God. And they will live in a way such, oh God. And when the enemy tries to trick them and tempt them to do something, Father God, they will say, no, our eyes on me, oh God. No, my children are watching, oh God. And most importantly, you are watching, oh God. And because you are watching and I honor you and I love you, Father God, I'm going to go above and beyond for you because you deserve it, oh God. Because you went above and beyond for me on that cross. So I thank you for them right now. I ask you to bless these brothers. Cover them, keep them, oh God. Lead them, God, in protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We got to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for my brothers. So, hallelujah. That felt good. Amen.
Amen.
I love seeing brothers. I love God. I love strong men. Amen. We need to go out to God. So if you need to be saved, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. If you need to be saved, or if you have been saved, you've been out of church for a while, you say, you know what, I just need to come back home. Today could be your day. Amen. We would love to have you. We would love to have you. Love to speak into your life. Love to encourage you. Love to pray with you. Love to do whatever we can to help you be who God has called you to be.
Amen.
So if you need to be saved, you say, you know what, I need to give my life to Christ. Let today be your day.
Like I said, I know me, I don't extend. I try to listen to God and give it as long as he can, because I can't scare nobody into heaven. Mm-hmm. If I could, heaven would be filled up probably if you could scare people into heaven. But guess what? It'd be no love.
Amen.
I don't want to be scared into a relationship. I want to love you into a relationship.
That's it.
I don't want to scare you. If I got to scare you, it ain't going to last.
That's good.
It ain't going to last, and it ain't love. You got to love. You got to want to be with God. Amen. So if anybody says, you know what, I want to be saved, I want to rededicate my life to Christ, or maybe you're a candidate for baptism, I don't know, whatever the case may be, I want to give you this quick few minutes, this opportunity to do that, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God, amen. Amen. Bless you, bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's give God a praise real quick, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.